بسم الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everyone doing good. We had a long day today. But thank you so much for being here despite having a very long day. And I'm really glad to be here to seek knowledge, to have greater understanding with regards to our religion and at least for our topic for today on purity or cleanliness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you for your time today. And hopefully you'll find something beneficial that you can bring home, that you can bring throughout your life. And hopefully, inshallah, it will help to bring meaning to your daily practices, inshallah. Okay? So yes, if you have any questions, please feel free to drop it in the link earlier. But inshallah, today I'll be sharing more about reflecting the purity within Tahara and our spiritual well-being. You know, when NES Nisa, he presented this topic to have an event out of it. I think it was beautiful because a lot of times when you speak about Tahara, when you speak about purity, cleanliness, it can be very technical, right? Oh, I learn about how to perform my ablution. I learn how to perform my obligatory bath. Then there will always be 1001 questions about menstruation, right? About when does it start? When does it end? When can I be? Did I miss my prayer? And so on. So sometimes we continue to have all of these conversations, which is important, but we tend to lose the bigger meaning or the bigger understanding to why cleanliness and why Tahara exists in the first place. And I really hope that it's something I can share with all of you tonight. And hopefully, you know, there are some things that you can bring it along in your life to practicalize it. Then hopefully it will bring this, inshallah. Okay, so inshallah, as some of us might be aware, okay, cleanliness is actually a fundamental teaching of our faith. When you take a look at, for example, scholarly books that talks about topics surrounding jurisprudence, for example, or if you take a look at books of hadith, books of the narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see an entire topic that speaks about tahara. And if some of you had prior experience, or if you are keen to learn more about the religion, when you learn more about fiqh, you learn more about jurisprudence, more often than not, the first chapter will always be tahara. The first chapter will always be about cleanliness. Okay? And not only that it is a fundamental teaching of our faith, but it is something that encapsulates different areas of our lives. And at least what we are seeing here is that faith, through cleanliness, allows us to achieve a couple of things, right? Cleanliness through not just our physical being, but also cleanliness or purity through our spiritual aspect, ethical, psychological, financial. And it does not only stop in the parameters of our own selves, but it continues to expand to the environment as well as, you know, personal hygiene. And it removes impurities, and part of it also will allow us to continue to keep things tidy. Okay? Something that we are all very much aware of. Like, yeah, I know this is cleanliness. I know how to keep things tidy. Right? But you know, just to share some of the reasons why cleanliness is actually a big part of our faith, and at least it being a foundation in that matter. Here we see that part of the means of cleanliness, it brings about spiritual purity, it brings about health and well-being, right? When you take care of your personal hygiene, and then on the matters of environmental cleanliness, also interestingly, point number four speaks about respecting others. Right, so taking care of your personal hygiene is not just about you wanting to be clean, but to be able to allow the person next to you to be comfortable, right? And also with regards to social interactions as well. This is where we see a couple of narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will always advise, right, his companions to not eat certain types of food, certain types of ingredients before prayer. Because it might disrupt a person's prayer later on. Like, for example, eating too much onions, right? You know, the smell that will emit from our mouth due to a lot of consumption of the onions, that right, will make somebody uncomfortable. So while it is a means of respecting others, it is also something that is very much helpful in our social interactions as well. Okay? So I believe we all know all of these points, right? Can I get a nod if you obviously know this? Okay, great, alhamdulillah. So this is where, inshallah, I come in to share with all of you a greater perspective, okay, to fairness, to clarity, and at least to give meaning in our daily actions. Just earlier, you were all doing your market prayers. Okay, prior to market prayers, you would have taken your wudu. You would have taken your ablution, right? At some point, it becomes muscle memory. Like, oh, I need to pray. So I go to the toilet, I perform my ablution, and then I pray. Right? So definitely, ablution in itself is a key to perform the prayer. Right? It's a key to ensure that the prayer is accepted. But have you ever thought about why do I need to perform the wudu in the first place? Let me just give you an example, okay? A question that I asked the organizers of this event at the time. We perform the wudu, the ablution, and then I go to pray. What happens when along the way, as I walk through that room, I suddenly experience a passing of the wind? Oh, I got it. Okay. What should I do if I got it along, on my journey towards the prayer area? U-turn? Sorry, say U-turn and do what? Go back home. Go back to the toilet to perform your ablution. Okay, well, I was really like, let's continue about your ablution. You're doing this ablution. So we do that, right? We take a U-turn, we go back to the toilet. Putting aside some of emotions sometimes, like, pish, I'm taking my wudu, I need to take my wudu again, right? So we make a U-turn, we turn back to the toilet, we perform the ablution. But if you think about ablution, what are the parts of your body that you wash? Yes, because suddenly this becomes a test. Everybody's like, did I make ablution correctly? Right, we wash our hands, our face, your face. Okay. Okay. So we wash all of those parts, right? Our hands, our mouth, our nose, our face, and then our arms, right? And then do we wash our head or do we wash our hair? Suddenly everybody is like questioning the actions again. Okay. But just FYI, right? Sometimes we take that water and then some people would like just wet the front of it. Some people would wet down to the very back, right? But the important point to note is that when you do that part of the ablution, water needs to touch your scalp. So you can be like washing our hair, but it doesn't touch our scalp, right? So regardless of how much water you put towards your head, as long as you feel you know that it touches your scalp, then you're good. Okay? So that part. So you wash your head, okay. And then we wash our ears, okay, our ears. And then for the bun, our feet. Okay, good job, everybody. 10 points for everyone. Okay, so we wash all of those parts, right? But what has it got to do with the passing of the wind? Just think about which part of the body that gas is emitted from when we experience the process of farting. Right? And then I go to the toilet, I perform the ablution, and I wash everything else other than where it happened. So sometimes if we really think about these things, right, it may or may not make sense. Like, why do I need to wash all of the other parts just so that I can perform my ablution, right? So this is where our understanding with regards to purity, with regards to cleanliness, transcends beyond the physical aspect. This is where learning about the spiritual aspect is important, the ethical aspect, the psychological aspect of things. Okay? So I hope that you will find that answer in my presentation today, inshallah. Okay? If you do not, you can just repeat it again, inshallah. But it will be there somewhere. All right. So as I mentioned earlier, sometimes when we speak about cleanliness, purity can be very, very technical. More often than not, it becomes so technical that I forget why do I clean myself in the first place? Why do I practice purification in the first place? And I think when we say physical, we would relate it to the word cleanliness. But when we relate to something maybe spiritual or with regards to the soul, with regards to the heart, we will use purification. Right? But these two things are very much related, one to the other. And here in this verse, maybe some of you are familiar with this, but It's really good to actually go through this first because we are all women here and it's an all-women event and something that we can relate to definitely. So in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 222, Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa yas'aluna ka'anil محيط. Which means, and they ask you about menstruation. Say it is haram, so keep away from wives during menstruation, and do not approach them until they are pure. And when they have purified themselves, then come to them from where Allah has ordained for you. Indeed, Allah loves those who are constantly repentant and loves those who purify themselves. Okay? So if we take a look at this verse, we are seeing a couple of concepts. Right, among the many is number one, this concept of menstruation. Okay, so this verse actually speaks about when spouses they interact with their wives, and especially when their wives are going through that period of menstruation, right? It is prohibited for them to perform any means of intercourse. Okay, but if you take a look at this portion, interestingly, Allah says, "Wala taqrabuhunna hatta yatukunna." Okay. Which means, and do not approach them until they are pure. So, what is the opposite of pure? Dirty. Other words? Impure. Yes, correct. Impure, right? I sometimes have that habit, but I'm not sure the opposite. I just put in. I don't know the words, which doesn't make sense, okay? So, the opposite of pure is, some of you mentioned dirty, some of you mentioned impure, right? And at least here, if we were to take the literal understanding to this verse, what we will also understand is that do not approach these women or women in general because they are still not pure. They are still, in your definition, impure or dirty. What does that mean to you? Sometimes we do say those things to ourselves, right? Oh, I cannot pray because I am not pure right now. I cannot pray because I'm dirty right now. Or you feel like this state that I'm in is actually dirty, right? I feel dirty, that is why I cannot pray. That is why I cannot step into the areas of i'tikaf in the morning, which is why I cannot hold the Quran, which is why I cannot do this, which is why I cannot do that. So this is where the understanding of Quranic verses and the religion is important, and understanding things to its context is also important because it shapes the way we view our faith, it shapes the way we view our religion. And at least here, when Allah says, and do not approach them until they are pure, it is not a definition to the women, but it is a definition to the state that they are in. They are in the state in which that does not enable them to pray. But it does not define them as people who are dirty or people who are impure or people who are not pure. So I want us all to be a little bit mindful of the things that we say to ourselves, right? Especially when we are going through this period of menstruation, right? Menstruation is a beautiful experience, although it comes with cramps and PMS and a lot of eating, a lot of acne sometimes, and a lot of the things that we all struggle with. But in reality, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us that we are healthy, right? To tell us that, okay, the things which are regulating in our body is functioning in the best way possible. Okay. Why am I saying this also? Because personally, if I can share, I have health conditions with regards to menstruation. Yeah, so if you have heard of dysmenorrhea before, these are something that I have experienced, and it is not a pleasant experience that in itself. So to be able to menstruate properly, having a good cycle, a healthy cycle, is in fact a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, but of course there are many more wisdom with regards to menstruation itself, but it's not our main focus on discussion today. But my point is to ensure that we are saying the right words to ourselves. We need to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right full context. Okay? And this is where learning is important. So when Allah says, and when they have purified themselves, right, then come to them from where Allah has ordained for you. And this is what we want to look at in Allah, yuhibbut tawwabin wa yuhibbut. And Allah loves those who are constantly repentant. And Allah loves those who purify themselves. So it's beautiful how the word repent or repentance, right, comes together with the word purify or purification. If you think about the idea of repenting, right, turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also an experience of purifying ourselves from the sins, from the misdeeds, from things in which that we have done that may have displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? But if you take a look at these words, right, tawwabin and al-mutatahhirin, it uses this similar concept of to constantly perform. So it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who constantly repent. It's not just, oh, I repent one day and it's enough. Right? Every single day, we all sin, we're all sinners by nature, as mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the best of sinners are those who repent, right? Those who turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we sin every day, sin in itself is a mercy, right? Because we have the opportunity to turn back to Allah. We have the opportunity to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, the sin that we do is wrong, right? The sin itself is not okay. But to be a sinner, which is our nature, that in itself is okay, right? So the constant act of repenting, returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows us to access this act of purifying ourselves. Okay? When we speak of purifying ourselves, I love to give this example. Think about that plate that you have used at home or in campus to eat. Right? You have this plate, right? I don't know how to draw a plate. But I guess does it look like it's actually giving me? So this is a plate. Okay? You use this plate to eat every single day. So if I say that it is enough for me to wash it one time and then it is pure, it is clean, then I will use it again and again and again every single day. Okay? So imagine you have that plate to eat. What do you do with a plate after you eat? You wash. And then when you use it again, you will need to wash it again. You want to use it again, you will wash it again, right? You'll constantly wash it, you'll constantly cleanse it, you'll constantly purify it. In that same way, do we want to purify ourselves? In that same way, do we want to purify our hearts? Because just imagine, right? I take that plate, I eat, then I wash one time, then tomorrow I use it again and I do not wash. I use it every single day for a month. Then somebody comes and tell me, you have a very dirty plate. No, I've cleansed my plate last month, right? And it's enough for me to cleanse it one time because it has been cleaned. But again, the act of purifying something, cleansing something needs to be a daily act. And sometimes it's not just daily, sometimes it's through the pockets of time, through your day, you work on cleansing and purifying yourself. And that will be through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be through prayers, that will be doing good deeds, that will be seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Okay? So the bigger point that we want to highlight through this verse is to understand that while conversations surrounding cleanliness, purity, tahara can sometimes be very technical, I want you to understand that it is an act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. When you perform the ablution, it is something that Allah loves. And what happens when we do something that Allah loves? We attain the love, we attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I perform my ablutions, as some of you all did earlier, I perform my ablution to perform my Maghrib prayers. I not only perform that just because it unlocks prayer, but I perform that as well for the sole purpose that I want Allah to love. I want Allah to be pleased with me. Allah is not asking us to climb an entire mountain to attain His love and to attain His pleasure. But it's just going to the washroom, taking our wudu, and performing the prayer. Right? So let us move through these next few pointers, inshallah, with the understanding that this is a means to attain the love, to attain the pleasure of Allah. And why is it important to attain the love and the pleasure of Allah? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that even he will not enter paradise due to his own deeds. But he will enter paradise due to the mercy, the love, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how are we able to attain the love and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we do not start doing the things that he loves? Right? So always try your best to look at things from a bigger lens, a bigger perspective. What is the bigger purpose? What is the higher objective out of doing a daily act that is part of my faith or that is part of my religion? And at the end of the day, you will always find that, oh, it is to be able to attain the love of Allah. It is to be able to be those whom Allah loves. And why is it so important? Because, you know, I always tell my students this. When you love somebody, you will always give them the best. Right? You will always give them the best. And when you become somebody whom Allah loves, Allah will only want to give you the best. And don't we all want the best from Allah? Yes, we do. Right? And this is why we do our part, to continuously do things that Allah loves, that Allah is pleased with. And among the many simple things that we can do is through performing the ablution. Okay? Of course, this will also include other things such as you know, performing the wudu ablution, doing the different types of bath, right? So why did I mention different types of bath? Because an act can change its state, right? Meaning, you know, when you bathe every single day, right? Is it an obligation to bathe every single day? No, right? Nobody's going to hurt you if you don't bathe every single day. But again, you want to take care of our personal hygiene, right? So that in itself is an act that is allowed. But when it comes to, for example, I want to perform the bath, after which I'm done with my menstruation. So then that bath becomes an obligation, right? It becomes wajib, right? Because I need to purify the state that I'm in so that I can perform my prayers and so on. Okay? So it goes down to the ablution that we perform, if it means to attain the love and the pleasure of Allah, the different types of bath that we do, you know, where we keep clean in the mosque or in the places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. When we take care of our cleanliness, when we do our hajj, when we do our umrah, and it's also a means of attaining the love and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look through all of these lists, the many things that are not in this list, these are the means to attain the love and the pleasure of Allah. So now our understanding has expanded. I can attain the love and the pleasure of Allah not only through prayer, but in the daily actions that I do. Right, ensuring that I eat clean food and clean drink, taking care of the environmental cleanliness, ensuring that we wear clean clothes, right? Cleanliness of the home, cleanliness of this space, cleanliness of the campus. All of these things are means in which that we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to attain the love and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, if we take a look at this, okay, some of you might have a perception, and okay, just to clear this out, might have a perception that this is a hadith, right? Because it comes from one of the six hadith books. Hadith meaning narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, books that compile the narrations of the Prophet. So this is actually one of the six famous or prominent or most referred to hadith books. Okay, so then at-Tirmidhi. But when we interact with any means of hadith, any means of narration that can share with you, it's important to take a look at who said it. Sometimes it's easy to just forward or copy paste all of these things and share with people with the understanding that, oh, this was something that the Prophet said. Right? But do you see any name of the Prophet here? Alright, and whose name do you see? Okay, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Okay, so we always have a narrator, okay, the one who reports on what, you know, this person has said. And here we have Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. So if you don't know who Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib is, he is actually a tabi'in. He is actually a predecessor. So who are predecessors? Okay, just to run through it with you, inshallah. So we have the time of the Prophet, right? So Allahu Alaihi Wasallam, followed by the time of the companions, okay, which is the Sahaba. Okay.
And after the companion, this is where the reading comes into place.
Predecessors, or you can also name them as followers. Okay? Why? Because from this Arabic word, it comes from the word taba. Taba means to follow. Right? Meaning, this generation follows the way of the generation of the companions. And of course, the companions, for some of which who lived to see Rasulullah, they followed the ways of Rasulullah. Okay? And then the generation after that, we have this group of people called Okay, so you can say it's the follower of the followers. So meaning they follow the predecessors, right? And the predecessors follows the companions, and of course the companions will follow the ways of Rasulullah. So why is this chain of generations important? Because Rasulullah said the best generations are the three generations that come after you. And these are the three generations. The generations of the Sahaba, the generation of the Tabi'in, and also the generation of the Tabi'in. Meaning, they are the people who, in which their generation is closest to that of Rasulullah. Meaning their actions, the things that they do, the things that they say, the things that they decide upon, is based on the teachings of the generation that they follow. So of course, if we were to put our generation, right, we have so many generations afterwards, boomers, millennials, Gen Z, the very generation, what all of those things are, right? But we have so many generations down there. So for at least for our generation, and at least we are living 1,400 at least, right, years away from Rasulullah. Our generation is very much far away from that of Rasulullah, which is why we see a lot of, for example, a lot of changes, a lot of advancements, a lot of different perspectives, different ways of application, due to our generation being far away from that generation of Rasulullah. So they are noted as the three best generations because they are close to that of the Prophet, and their acts of obedience and acts of worship are still, its intensity is actually still taken care of them. Okay? Alright, so why are we going through all of these things again? Because going back to this person, right? Signed Ibn al-Musayyib. So who is he? He is a Tabi'in. He is a predecessor. So which generation does he belong to? Generation 1, 2, or 3? Okay, generation 2. Okay. So he belongs to generation 2. And if you read a little bit more on him, right? He is actually one of the prominent scholars for Hadith, which is the narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as well as his father of fiqh. Okay, fiqh meaning jurisprudence, the things that surround Islamic rulings or Islamic legislation. Okay, so for Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, these are some of the things that he mentioned about cleanliness. Maybe just one more thing, okay? Hadith hazard. It is, if you know what is work hazard, this is hadith hazard. Of course, that's Aydan Hadith. Okay, so just to introduce you to this term. Hadith, Athar, and Khabar. Athar and Khabar. So usually our scholars would use the term Hadith if the quote is attributed to Rasulullah. So meaning, Prophet Sallallahu said this. So then we call it a Hadith. But when it is attributed to the first generation right here, which is that of the companion, scholars don't call it hadith. They call it athar. So when you read, inshallah, more hadith books, or you read more of our religious texts, right? And if you come across, there is an athar that mentions about, then straight away you have the understanding, it is not mentioned by the prophet, but it is something that was mentioned by a companion. Okay? And then for khabar, is that which comes from the five predecessors and below. So if we take a look at this, is this a hadith or asar or khabar? It's a khabar, right? Why? Because Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib is a tabi'in, right? He is a predecessor. So he comes from this second generation, and he also transmits
or what is transmitted of him is actually incorrect. Okay. All right, so back to this. So what does this predecessor say? Right? He said this. Inna Allaha qayyimun yuhibbu qayyib nazifun yuhibbu nazafa kareemun yuhibbu al-karam jawadun yuhibbu al-jud. So verily, Allah is pure. And what does Allah love? Purity. He, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is clean. And what does Allah love? Cleanliness. Allah is generous. And what does Allah love? Generosity. He is magnanimous and he loves magnanimity. Okay? Magnanimity has similar meanings to generosity, but it is more of kindness, it is more of forgiveness, it is more of mercy. Okay? So here, when we take a look at this narration, what we are getting here is that it's important when I learn something about my God, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need to creatively find ways to emulate the things that I learned about him. Meaning, Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate and most merciful, right? I know that Allah is the most merciful. So, to be those whom Allah loves, to attain the love of Allah, I've got to start to emulate mercy in my life. How can I be merciful to the people around me? How can I be merciful to the environment? How can I be merciful in my ways, in my speech? How can I be merciful to myself? Right? So that is how we apply this narration. On when we learn something about Allah, we emulate. And at least what we are seeing here, Allah is pure and he loves purity. Right? Allah is clean and he loves cleanliness. Allah is generous, he loves generosity. Allah is magnanimous and he loves magnanimity. Okay? So again, our conversation goes back to the idea that at the end of the day, we do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to attain the love of Allah, to be those whom that which Allah loves, so that I enter paradise due to His love. Okay? And then one of the many ways is that of cleanliness and purity. So far, okay. But is it too much to download? Is it okay? Thank you. Okay, now going back to the main highlight of today's conversation. And now with the understanding, okay, that cleanliness, purity, purification is easy to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the hadith that we want to focus on with regards to tonight. And that is the hadith of cleanliness is half of you. Have you ever heard of this hadith before? Okay, what do you understand by half? What is half? 50%. Balance. Right? You cut something in half. Right? A watermelon, you cut it in half. So this is usually how we will understand what half, right, is all about. Now let us take a look at this hadith inshallah to understand it better. Now, a tahur, as mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a tahur shatr al-iman walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan wa subhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'an aw tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal-ard والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فباعد نفسه فمعتقها أو مملكها. Okay, so the title or the main focus of this presentation is this part that is lacking. Okay, and that is الطهور شطر الإيمان. Now let's take a look at what it means. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us cleanliness is our faith. And alhamdulillah, which is all praise and gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good, feels this feeling. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, and alhamdulillah, fill up what is between the heavens and the earth. And prayer is a light, and charity is proof of one's faith, and endurance is a brightness, and the Holy Quran is a proof on your behalf for it gives you. All men go out early in the morning and serve themselves, thereby setting themselves free or destroying themselves. Okay? So our main focus of today is this part. Al-tuhur shatr al-iman. Okay? Cleanliness is half of faith. Now, if you take a look at this Arabic term, right? When you say half in Arabic, it's yes. Okay?
It's nils. Nils means half. But shatru, more or less, does not actually mean half as in 50-50, right? Or 50%. Or you take something and then literally it's half of that. So when we take the literal understanding, then it will be, oh, this is my face, half of it constitutes cleanliness. Okay? But that is not the real meaning because the word shatru here means a part of or a huge part of something. Okay? Which sometimes can move towards this idea of means being half. Okay. Now, going back to my hadith hazard earlier, it's important for us to explore this thing called fiqhul hadith. Okay. Fiqhul hadith is a way on how we can understand narrations of the Prophet. So if you have heard of tafsir before, tafsir or Quranic exegesis, okay, it means the explanation of Quranic verses. So when you open up the Quran with translations is you bring that one language into another language. But unnecessarily it explains, right? But what the tafsir or what the exegesis does is that it helps to explain, oh, what is this word all about? There are scholars for which when you write books to explain Quranic verses, right? Just Bismillahirrahmanirrahim can expand through at least 30 pages. Like when we read Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, oh, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, right? But for scholars, they help us to go deep into that understanding. So if we take a look at the hadith, it's similar to that of tafsir. If tafsir explains the verses of the Quran, fiqhul hadith explains the complicated narrations, right? The hadith. So this is where we see all of these explanations, but this is at least a small part of that because our focus is just the top part of tuhur, shatrul, iman, right? Cleanliness is a part of it, or cleanliness is half of it. Okay. All right. Now, to help us understand better with regards to what this hadith is all about, here we see that our scholars tell us that when we speak about cleanliness, when we speak about purity, this is actually a fundamental matter in our religion. Okay? And here it is mentioned that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted this, these matters that were presented in the hadith earlier, ma yahumul muslima fi hayatihi wa akhirati. So meaning whatever that was mentioned in the hadith is important for the livelihood of the person and the state of the hereafter of that person as well. And which also contribute the matter of cleanliness earlier. Okay? So here the Prophet ﷺ, when he said the word tahur, when he said the word cleanliness, some of our scholars would refer it to as al-wudu, the ablution. Okay? Why? Because ablution is a means to access the acceptance of our prayers. Okay, so why sometimes we have this understanding that cleanliness is half of faith because it is half of that process. So for example, should I draw something again? Not my strength. Never mind. Okay. So this means me for you. Right? So in order for me to reach that state of prayer, I need to perform my ablution, right? I need to cleanse myself. So ablution becomes this middle thing that I need to do. Because it means for me to ensure that I'm able to perform a prayer that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does ablution become? It becomes half of that journey. And then the other half is performing that prayer and then attaining the acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through my prayer. So it's why some of our scholars, the way they would help us understand how is it half or how is it a big part of that faith is this. Okay, it is a half that enables another half. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, to continue, there are also other parts in which that our scholars mentioned here. Okay. They say that when you take a look at, all of these categories of which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the good things that we do, the good things that we see, right? At the end of it, what happens to us is that
It purifies our heart, right? It cleanses our hearts and then it purifies our hearts. So why do we do a good deed? Oh, so that Allah loves me. So that I get pahala, I get rewards, right? I get acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for every good deed that I do is also an act of purifying myself, purifying my heart. And this is what our scholars here tell us as well, right? And then the other part is that our scholars tell us why also this hadith focuses on that, you know, cleanliness is half of faith, is the part where we see here. Because cleanliness happens in two areas. One area is azahir, the external, the physical part of our being. The other one is internal, right? The spiritual, the soul part of our being. And if you look through all the way down, right, to all the way down to this explanation, we also see that it mentions, okay, ablution is the method that enables us to pray. Without ablution, without purifying ourselves, we are not able to perform a prayer that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so going back to this hadith that we mentioned earlier about cleanliness is part of faith. Cleanliness is a big part of faith. It helps us to understand that this act, while we do it physically, while water touches our skin, it touches our limbs, it touches different parts of our body, it is also a means to cleanse ourselves inward, right? In terms of our spirituality, okay? To help you make more sense out of this, I'm going to share with you, inshallah, three narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a hadith, that will help you to understand this better. Okay, did you know that when you perform your ablution, your sins exit through the water that you see? Okay, and here we see that as mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man tawaddaa fa ahsana al-wudu'a kharajat khatayahu min jasadihi hatta takhruja min tahti asfarihi." So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, he who performs the ablution wet, what happens? Sins would come out of his body, even coming out from underneath his nails. So what does it mean here? How does sin exit from our body or from our nails? It is through the understanding that one day, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, we are all, you know, we all will be accountable for all of the things that we have done, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment is not general. His judgment will be detailed, will be specific. Down to the point of Allah will ask us, what did you do with your hands? What did you do with your eyes, with your sight? Using your legs, where did you go? Using your fingers, what things did you touch? What things did you type? Using your brain, using your mind, what do you think about? So every part of our limbs, every part of our body will be questioned, will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we reflect on this hadith, we also understand that I have the potential to perform sins with different parts of my limbs, with different parts of my body, right? And with that evolution, it allows me to purify. Of course, this is inclusive of your obligatory bath and so on. As long as we work on purifying ourselves, then this is something that happens. Okay? A further explanation is through this hadith, okay, which is the sins through the limbs. But the Prophet ﷺ mentions, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَوْ الْمُؤْمِنُ فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ خَرَجَ مِنْ وَجْهِهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا بِعَيْنَيْهِ مَعَ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ فَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ خَرَجَ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ كَانَ بَطَشَتْهَا يَدَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ فَإِذَا غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ خَرَجَتْ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ مَشَتْهَا رِجْلَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرُ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الْجُنُوبِ. So this hadith speaks about all of these different parts that we continue to cleanse, right, when we perform the ablution. Let's take a look at this part. Okay? So when a servant, be it him being a Muslim or a believer, washes his feet, okay, what happens in the course of ablution? Every sin he contemplated with his eyes will be washed away from his face along the water. So it is a means of purifying our sins. Now,
We always understand, oh, we find our sins is something that is very general. But we forget to see that, again, there are sins that we do with different parts of our body, with these different needs. And sometimes we forget to seek forgiveness in Allah SWT, right? Ya Allah, forgive me for the sins that I've done through my eyes, through my sight. Forgive me for the sins that I've done through my mouth, through my tongue. Forgive me for sins that I've done with my gifts, the places that I've went to, right? With my fingers, the things that I've typed on my phone, right? The things that I've written and so on. Now, to continue, or with the last drop of water, when he washes his hands, everything they rot will be effaced from his hands with the water, or with the last drop of water. And when he washes his feet, every sin towards which his feet have walked will be washed away with the water, or with the last drop of water, with the result that he comes out pure from all sins. So the next time you perform your ablution, the next time you perform your obligatory bath, I want you to visualize this. I want you to visualize that, oh, mashallah, when I wash my hands, right, before my ablution, my sins are also being taken away with that other water. When I wash my face, it helps against my eyesight, right? The things that I smell, right? The things that I see through my mouth. When I wash my my hands, when I wash my ears, when I wash my feet, and all of the parts that you wash during your ablution or during your obligatory bath. This is where being mindful is important. This is where being mindful is important, right? Being mindful of the things that I do, because again, as I mentioned at the very beginning, ablution, cleanliness, these acts of purification can sometimes be a muscle memory. Then we forget to realize that every act is an act that Allah knows. Every act, it shows the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? By providing us with that means of purification from our sins. Okay? And going back to the mentioned earlier where it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and He loves purity. So which is why Allah loves those who perform the ablution. Because they have released themselves from the sins through the water, they become pure from all sins, and they return to Allah to prayer in that pure state. And then Allah loves this servant because they are in the state of purity. Okay? Now, the last hadith that I want to share with you tonight is what happened to Bilal ibn Rabah. Okay, which is one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Bilal, right, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually approached Bilal during the morning prayer. And he asked Bilal a question. Ya Bilal, hadithni bi arja amalin amiltahu fi Islam. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ دَفَّنَ عَلَيْكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ مَا عَمِلْتُ عَمْلًا أَرْجَى عِنْدِي أَنِّي لَمْ أَتَطَهَّرْ وُقُورًا فِي سَاعَةٍ لَيْلٍ أَوْ نَحَارٍ إِلَّا صَلَّيْتُ بِذَلِكَ الطُّهُورِ مَا كُتِبَ لِي أَنْ أَشْرَكِي. Okay. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Bilal during the morning prayer, O Bilal, tell me of the best that you did after embracing Islam. For I heard your footsteps in front of me in paradise. So he's talking to Bilal in person. Bilal has yet to be in paradise, right? Bilal is still alive at this moment in time. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly heard his footsteps in paradise. So that was when he asked Bilal, is there a good deed that you have done that has given you this great gift of having those footsteps in paradise? So Bilal then replied, I did not do anything worth mentioning, except that whenever I performed ablution during the day or night, I prayed after that ablution as much as was written for me. So here we see that not only this means of ablution, this means of cleansing ourselves, purifying ourselves, is a means to attain the forgiveness of our sins, the expiation of our sins. But here we are also seeing that it is also a key to paradise. It is also a key for its path to paradise, right? Even before we reach paradise. Okay? And that is in the case of Bilal. And I hope that through these three hadiths, we are able to find greater meaning in our practices of our wudu, our cleanliness, our purification, inshallah. So last but not least, I would like to leave you with a dua that is very much relevant to our topic tonight, and is very much relevant to the things that you do almost every single week. Okay? And that is the dua after ablution. Question. Do you recite your dua after the ablution? It is not an obligation by the FRI, so don't feel that, oh my god, I'm sinful, I didn't read any dua. But it is a good practice. Okay? And if we break down this dua, it will all make sense to all of you, inshallah. So back when I was in school, right? Because alhamdulillah, I was from the madrasa. After wudu, our teachers would like low key force us to read this. Okay? Literally force. Why? Because everybody like, ashhadu Allah, you know, shouting, screaming. Yeah. But of course, when we get older by the age, we avoid to scream. But we will always recite this dua. So, you know, at some point, I didn't realize why we had to read this dua, but I had the understanding that, okay, usually before any act, there will always be a dua to that. After any action, there will always be a dua to that. But when I got a little bit smarter, a little bit older my age, I realized that, oh, the meanings to the dua is so significant, and it is definitely related to the many, many pointers that we have been through earlier. Okay? And here, if you take a look at this dua, right, it begins with this. Okay, so inshallah, later I will try best to share my slide so that you all can, I don't know, switch out these, print these, you know, put this down so that you all can practice the dua after ablution. So you go to the toilet, you perform your ablution, and then once you are done, you exit the toilet, you recite your dua after you have left the toilet, then you recite this dua after ablution. Okay, so what is it all about? We say, we all recite, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I testify that there is no God but Allah, the One. There is no associate with Him, and I testify that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. So the most beautiful part is this. اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. Ya Allah, please make me amongst those who repent. Please make me among those who purify themselves. So we have seen the verse earlier, right? Allah loves those who constantly repent. Allah loves those who constantly purify themselves. So here we are asking, Allah, Ya Allah, I have cleansed myself. I have purified myself. Allow me to become those amongst who repent. Those who purify themselves. Okay? There's another version where we will add something at the back. Allah maja'alni min at-tawwabin, maja'alni min al-mutatahirin. And allow me to become the most pious of servants. Okay, so you're gonna add that, it's okay. You're gonna just follow this from Jamie at the meeting, okay, as well. Then we end with Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Glory is to you, O Allah, and praise be upon you. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but you. I seek your forgiveness and turn to you in repentance. Okay, so inshallah, I really hope that all of us, if there is anything that you want to take away from tonight, are two things. So one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. Every single act of cleanliness, every single act of purity is in to attain the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, practice this dua after ablution. Right? It's okay if you have not memorized this, it's okay if this is your first time. Print it out, screenshot it, put it in your phone, put it anywhere that you need to help remind you that, hey, after I perform my ablution, I'm going to practice this dua. Because this dua helps me to ask Allah to allow me to become those who purify themselves, to allow me to become those who constantly work on repentance, inshallah. Okay? So before I pass it back to our organizers, is it okay if we read this dua together, inshallah? Can you see or get me? Okay, so we will read the first part, the second part, the third part, all in Arabic. Actually, meaning you can read the transliteration if you're not comfortable with the Arabic. And then after that, we will read the English part. The first is the English part. Okay? Alright. Okay, so Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin. اجعلني من المتطهرين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك
Ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. I testify that there is no God but Allah, the One. There is no associate with Him, and I testify that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. O Allah, make me among those who repent and among those who purify themselves. Glory is to You, O Allah, and praise be upon You. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but You. I seek Your forgiveness and forgive me. So all the input comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I apologize for any of my shortcomings. And I hope that the presentation today has somewhat brought meaning and benefit into your lives. And I hope that as you continue to practice all the good, you remember to read Quran, inshallah. Okay? So thank you so much. And I shall pass it back to somebody.
Thank you, Ustaza, for your insightful sharing. We learned about the superiority of ablution. So, wudu or ablution is a means to attain Allah's pleasure and love. Even Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, He will enter heaven due to Allah's mercy, not through his deeds. And so, we must try to attain Allah's pleasure. And Allah is merciful, and ablution can escape.
We also learn about how Allah loves those who are constantly repentant and loves those who purify themselves, and how they both like interconnect with each other, as well as the like plate analogy where, like, you know, we use the plate and we should, like, after we eat with it, we should go and wash it and, you know, do that regularly. Yeah. Okay. So we're sure you all have some burning questions for Ustaza. But before we move on to the Q&A session, let's have a short 5-minute break. Do be reminded that we'll be having mass Isha prayers after this. So yeah, you need to take your wudu now. This will be a great time to do so. Yeah. So we will come back at 8:50. Yeah.
I think Okay, now we shall move on to the Q&A section. If you have any other questions, please send them to the full email link we shared earlier. And Osaza will answer them for you. We only have time for 1 to 2 questions, but the rest of them will be compiled and answered at a later time, inshallah. The first question is, Usada, is it true that it is the sin that if we don't do istinja any time after we purify ourselves, like fast motion, etc., is this compulsory? Could you share more about istinja?
Thank you so much for your questions. I really love how we try to creatively use certain words to like represent how we also do something. This is when it's after we purify ourselves. I don't know, let's try to find like a certain word that won't offend people, like it gets to the point of so you did a good job. Okay, so to answer, is it true that it is sin if we don't do istinja? Okay, so I think right, the understanding or the context of this question also comes from the nature of us living in Singapore, like not all the toilets that we use, like sometimes we're going to use the annual, some water spray that you need to clean, wipes, or you just need to be creative, right? So you make yourself clean, right? Recently, my brother bought this from some TikTok shop, like this thing where you open something and you can spray, so it was so good, but I don't know how much. Okay. But that's besides the point. Now, to answer your question, let me share with you a little bit more about istinja. Okay, so for some of you, if you have not heard of this term istinja before, okay, it is to cleanse ourselves after we have relieved ourselves. Okay, and the reason it is called istinja because it means to cleanse using water. So in Arabic, we also have this saying. We have this saying called istijmar. So istijmar, if you have not heard of it before, it is to clean ourselves but not using water. So our traditional jurisprudence of scholars, right, they would define istijmar as cleansing, not using water, but using other products, like, for example, leaves or barks of tree. Or there were times during the Rasul Barthasar and his companions where they went to places where there weren't water, so they would use like stones or scrambles. So, but of course, there are conditions or there are prerequisites for the stones, right? You don't use a stone that is rough. Yourself, right? Things from pebbles, you know, something that is smoother, or something that might not hurt them. So at least for our context in today's time, of course we don't use leaves and all the other things, unless you don't go camping or what. But we have toilet paper, right? We have wet tissue, we have all of these other products that we use. So essentially when we use them, it's not just ginger, it's just ginger. So based on the guidelines of our scholars and the different school of thoughts, the act of cleansing ourselves after cleaning ourselves is actually an obligation. It's actually wajib. Okay? But how you do it may be considered during that particular situation. So if you have water, you use less water. Right? If you can bring water in a cup or in a bottle, then you do so. You want to bring a spray or however creative that you want to do, you use water. Right? But in situations where we do not have that water, maybe we only have those paper products, then that is also fine as well. But of course, you know, as a Muslim, we really feel keen want something such as water, right? Usually if you use paper products, you know, toilet paper, I still feel like awkward. Like I need to find somewhere to like cleanse myself and then like, I feel better, right? I don't know if it's like a psychological thing, but essentially water does bring the effect of cleanliness. So to answer your question, it is an obligation to clean ourselves after we relieve ourselves. Okay, so of course, an obligation means if I do it,
I obtain rewards, I obtain the gifts, but if I leave it, then it comes with sins, right? So that would be to answer your question about. So be, as you mentioned, past motion or not past emotion, whatever that is past, right? It is important to clean yourself, and it is actually from past the leader. Okay, so try your best to do whatever it takes to cleanse ourselves. So I think this is why it's important to prepare some things or some materials that you have in your bag with you so that you can actually cleanse yourself properly. If you do not have, then you can always use paper products, and then maybe, you know, on your journey or whenever you plan to go to the nearest mosque or the nearest place that has water or the MPD, then you can cleanse yourself. Okay, hopefully that answers, inshallah.
Thank you for your answer, and inshallah we'll be more prepared to carry out the hijab as when moving on. Yeah, and I'll let you know more about this. So I'm not So the next question that we'd like to address would be so regarding your thought about cleanliness and every practice that we do. In general, moderation is key. And so we like to talk more about the extreme side of it. So how do we reduce the feeling of waswas in terms of cleanliness?
Right, so waswas is a huge concern for many people. Yeah, if you don't know what waswas is like those doubts that you have, like, I clean myself, but is it clean enough? Right? Sometimes we have those thoughts, right? Is it clean enough? Am I doing it correctly? Am I using the right tool products and so on? So the question is, how to reduce our thoughts, right? So I think it's important to understand that how we all view what clean is in different. Right? For some of us, if you just wash it with water, it's clean. For some others, I need to do soap. So it's clean. I need to do a certain thing to ensure that it's clean. So if you feel that you have your different levels of hygiene and different levels of cleanliness, then definitely just follow what you feel and what you think is clean. Okay? But what can become a struggle is sometimes when you are constantly overthinking about it, right? Always having that was is it clean enough, is it clean enough, is it clean enough. So I think it is important to, well, we better reduce was, how to reduce it, is to give ourselves I would say an expectation, but a benchmark. A benchmark meaning, okay, for me, clean is I use water and then I use soap. So my benchmark is once I have done using the water and soap, regardless of the waswas I feel, this benchmark is clean. Right? Of course, if you really feel like, oh my god, I need to clean it a little bit more, just clean it a little bit more. Okay? But again, if you find it very difficult, you know, to better with your waswas, have this benchmark for yourself. And remind yourself that this is the criteria. Whatever I feel after the criteria has been met, then it is something that is, and that is something that I'm just struggling with. But it does not define the level of cleanliness that I'm trying to achieve at this moment in time. Okay? But of course, if you speak about the spiritual aspect and things like that, the recitation of surahs like Surah An-Nas, Ayatul Kursi, these surahs help us to tackle with what's better. And especially when we go to the toilet, right? It's not the best place on earth. It is a place where, Chaiton resides, right? And which is why it is part of our practices to recite the dua when you go inside the toilet, right? Do you know the dua to enter the toilet? Right? Now, Allah, if you do not know the Arabic, you can always mention it in English or in any language after the dua. And your Allah, I seek refuge in you. From all of the methods that are harmful in the body. And then when you exit the toilet, then we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the toilet is a place where we do not practice the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even practicing like the dua before you enter the toilet, it will also actually affect, you know, this struggle that we have with the waswas. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from all harm, and sometimes this harm could also include our struggle with waswas as well. But yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, just set yourself a benchmark and constantly remind yourself that once you hit the benchmark, then it's okay.
Thank you, Sada, for the insightful answers. Thank you, ladies, also for your sincere questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease all of our affairs as we set to improve ourselves for Him, and may we be able to gain His pleasure in this world and the hereafter. Okay, so before we end this session, let's have a breather while we do a mini reflection activity. Each of you would be receiving three different post-its: a blue post-it, a cloud, and a flower. So each post-it represents a different time period, the past, present, and future. There's a mini reflection question for each post-it, and we would appreciate it if everyone would take a few minutes to pen down their reflections. Our blue post-its will be pasted up on a cute board to showcase on our key takeaways. So do answer the present question first. Okay, inshallah, let's take some time to answer this question now.
The intensity that you feel or just the heat that you feel when the other comes out. So you try to identify what happens when you look at a woman. And then when all of those segments are not present, when the body is open, then that is cool. So wait a minute. Yeah, so since you can identify those jacket you take.
Yeah, I invite the server Isaiah to come up on stage as well.
Yeah. taking this now, that's right.
Use me now as the end of more with the recitation of the Sikhara and Suranasar, Sri Yohan Rahim, Subhana Humba, Humba, Rehavika, Ashwanda, the Ida, the Sophil Kawa, the Lake, Sri Yohan Rahim, but also even the Sun and the Pusser.
Thank you, Sandra. So, do keep a lookout for our future events via our Instagram and Telegram channels. We will also share the materials from tonight in our Telegram channel. Inshallah, we'll be having our second event as well, Ladies Bonding Day, in collaboration with NTU Sofa, which is the all-girls Muslim community from NTU. This event will be happening on the 18th December during the winter break. So mark your calendars and invite all your friends because this event will be open to the public as well.
We will also be having a Nisa Qiyam takeover in February next year, inshallah. This Qiyam aims to incorporate the concept of sisterhood and expressing compassion to our fellow sisters in hopes of ending the year off on a wholesome note where everyone can bond together over a longer period of time.
Wow! All those events sound super exciting.
That's right. Looking forward to meeting all of you then.
Okay, alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of our event, or actually the most important part of the event. The feedback form. So before everyone leaves and friends each other together, we are still learning to serve you better. So please share your feedback with us. You may scan this QR code or click on the link shared in the Zoom chat.
Also, we will be having our very own food fundraiser, Nisa Mabba Bakery, next week, inshallah. So, do stay tuned.
On behalf of Nisa, we would like to humbly apologize for all our shortcomings. All good is from Allah, and all that is indeed from us. Thank you once again for your precious time on this Thursday night. Have a great weekend ahead.
Okay. Can we get everybody to go to the photo booth for a quick photo taking session?
Thank you.